Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Lots of things going on to cover. We've got a week's worth of programs already scheduled out today. We're going to talk with Congresswoman Val Hoyle from the 4th Congressional District. Back in the district, joining us from Springfield this afternoon. Congresswoman, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you. How are you?
We are doing good here on a Monday, watching the weather and all of that. I wanted to hit a number of different things. We're going to kind of bounce around on topics today. I know that you put out a release recently about some of the federal funds coming to this area. That included for Umpqua Community College, for student housing, and also for Glide Revitalization. What can you tell us about those?
Well, so there's something called community project funding. So the majority right now, it's the Republicans. They put out criteria for community project funding grants. And what this does is brings our taxpayer dollars back to our communities to invest in projects if they fit the criteria set by the majority. To do things that the community wants. The priorities for Eugene are different than Roseburg or different than Gold Beach, you know, or different than Lincoln City. So we were able to get $3.15 million secured for Umpqua Community College student housing and $800,000 secured for the Glide Revitalization construction of the 6,000 square foot former warehouse. And it'll be a multi-use community facility with dedicated space for childcare, office space, a library, conference room. And fundamentally, these are projects that the community in Douglas County has prioritized, has raised a lot of money for, has put a lot of energy into. And I felt really good about being able to bring our taxpayer dollars back to help complete those projects.
And for the UCC project, the college has obviously put a lot of effort into student housing being an important way to attract students to the college, and also kind of revitalizing some downtown Roseburg buildings that have in some cases been vacant, in the case of this one, for quite a while. So that will be a lot of work there in the coming year or two to get that going. But I know I've talked to the college folks, and there's a lot of excitement about the opportunity with what they can do with that property.
Well, I think one of the things that people don't understand, especially, you know, when I talk to people in the Portland metro area, or when I talk to people here in Eugene or Springfield, they don't realize how low the vacancy rate is in Roseburg. It is 0.5%. So there is a 0.5% vacancy rate. So if you're a student and you're going to the community college, and this is how we train our workforce, where are you supposed to find housing? So I think, you know, people talk about low-income housing. That is important. But we really need to focus on workforce housing if we're going to help our economy, and student housing for Umpqua Community College, which does so much in our community. It's really exciting. And again, the community has been so strongly supportive of this effort.
Now, when you kind of look around at your job overall, what do you feel like the big impacts are that you're having for the district overall?
Well, I mean, the community project funding grants are important. There is legislation that I am working on, whether it's on, you know, tribal co-management of our federal lands, timber policy, on transportation and infrastructure, which I've said before, it is the most functional committee in Congress, meaning that we're actually working on passing a transportation, surface transportation bill, right? Investing in infrastructure. That should not be a partisan issue. And then I just recently was appointed to the Aviation Subcommittee. So working with the Department of Transportation and Secretary Sean Duffy on upgrading our air traffic control system and working on how to make our airspace safer, you know, with drones and other and helicopters and other things, we need to update our air traffic control system. And I'm really grateful to say that is bipartisan. There are some really crazy things that are happening in the country. I try and work to get things done that I can do to help my constituents, whether it's dealing with a federal agency and with all the federal workers that have been fired and the way things are happening. It's harder to get through to the Social Security. It's harder to get through to the VA, but we can help with that. And then also addressing the things that speaking out against the things that I feel wrong or are unconstitutional. So it's kind of like doing both things at once is difficult, but I have an incredible staff, and that is really helpful.
Now, we're looking at the midterms coming up for Congress. What kind of impact does this have on the productivity of Congress when you've got a percentage of people that are maybe more focused on their campaign than other work going on?
You know, it was already hyper-partisan in a way that we have not seen. Normally, you get the business done of Congress and, you know, yes, one party's in charge or the other is, but, you know, Congress itself is strong. You know, it's a balance to the executive branch, which is a balance to the judicial branch. You know, it's like three legs of a stool. So it was already hyper-polarized, hyper-partisan. There were a number of jobs of Congress that were just handed over to the president and the executive branch, whether it's setting tariffs or appropriations or, you know, negotiations for how we fund things. They weren't happening in the normal way. And now that we're in campaign season, it's like all of that on steroids. So it makes it harder to be for those of us who show up and want to do the work, it does make it more difficult. But I have found that there are Republicans that really are focused on wanting to get the job done as well, and Democrats, of course. So I just find those people and work, you know, just like the people in this district show up. When they show up and they get paid to do a job, they show up and work. So that's what I try and do every day, is just show up, work, and do the best I can for the people in this district. And it goes from Curry County up to Lincoln County, very conservative to very progressive and everyone in between. So I just do the work because that's what this district needs, much more than just yelling on about performative things.
What are your priorities in Congress this year? What are some of the things you're particularly focused on, maybe trying to see accomplished in 2026?
So, of course, continuing to work on the expansion of the Port of Coos Bay intermodal project. We're actually working incredibly well with the Department of Transportation. There are a number of grants that will be coming through. I'm working with the state legislature, been talking with the governor about just how unprecedented it is that we were able to have such strong support from the Biden administration. We have incredibly strong support from the Trump administration. They both saw that investment in that infrastructure for the future was critical. So working on that, working to make sure that those jobs are good paying jobs will come to the South Coast, that we can upgrade the rail, upgrade the, you know, the dredging for the port. That's exciting. And then I'm working on tribal co-management of Forest Service lands, because again, with so many of the people at the Forest Service who have gotten fired, and we need to focus on managing our forest for that forest health, right? Which means conservation. And if timber is cut, it's done in a sustainable way, and that money stays in our district. So the amendments that I have would mean that the money would go straight to the tribe to be split with the counties, that money could be used for all the county things that we don't get. And then we're working on negotiations to make sure that this would not be in lieu of secure rural school funds. It's complicated, but it's important. And it's, I think that it is a creative way to move forward so that we're not in the timber wars discussion where it's, either don't cut any trees or cut all the trees. That's just not, it's not reasonable, and we're losing too much of our forest to forest fire. We need to make sure that we're keeping our forest for the next, you know, 5 to 7 generations.
Let me jump back to the port over in Coos Bay with this big project. Probably a lot of people in Douglas County don't think about it as much, but talk about the impact that could have in terms of things being transported over to the I-5 corridor through Douglas County.
Right. So what this would do would upgrade our rail system. This would be the first ship to rail port on the West Coast. So for our farmers, we've talked to farmers and ranchers, they'd be able to get, you know, their produce and product down, whether it's from Eastern Oregon or from wherever, right out to the port. And then, you know, we'll have way stations along the way where goods can be loaded. This really helps Oregon as it's going to be 2 days closer to Japan, which is a really big market for hay. It's a big market for our seeds, for wheat. And fundamentally, this will give us more access for lower costs to international markets, and then for our importing as well. Because again, it will go straight to rail, and we don't have to truck things up to Seattle or down to Long Beach. I think it's a great opportunity. And there will be, I mean, we're talking like up to 6,000 permanent jobs throughout the South Coast. And those would be good rail jobs. Those would be good port jobs. Those would be the ancillary jobs. But we better start thinking about where this workforce is going to live. And so we're working on housing policy as well. It's exciting. The South Coast should not have to just wait on the Portland metro area to send us money, because that's the economic engine. We should be the economic engine. And I do think the Port of Coos Bay Intermodal Project is one really, really great way to do that.
Talk about specific legislation that you're working on for this session of Congress.
So I was working on the Made in America Jobs Act that passed through the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee to provide grants to get jobs, bring back manufacturing customer service jobs from overseas, working, as I said, on tribal co-management, working on the Port of Coos Bay project. Sent a letter to the Coast Guard and invited the Coast Guard Commandant to come down both to Newport and then down to Gold Beach and Bandon. We sent a letter telling them we would like to see more coverage, again, seasonal coverage in Gold Beach and Bandon from the Coast Guard so that we can save lives. It's a really dangerous it's a dangerous ocean, and we have 23,000 boats that go out off that coast, and we'd like to see the Coast Guard closer so that we don't lose lives. Those are some of the things we're working on. I mean, it's every day is something new, but it's natural resources, transportation infrastructure, and again, I'm really digging in on aviation and air safety. I do want to mention a fun thing that we're doing that we do every year. And that's the Congressional Art Competition. I know some people who've come out to D.C. have done the tour of the Capitol. And if you are in D.C., let us know, because we're able to bring you around. But every year, each congressional district gets to display art from a high school student in their district. So we'd like to encourage high school students to apply by April 20th. You can go to our website, and the winner will get to come to D.C. and celebrate with the winners from all around the country. And then your art will be posted in the Capitol for the entire year. And it truly is my favorite part of the Capitol, because we see such talent from young people around the country. So we want to get as many people applying as possible and sending in their art.
So as you go around the district, and I know you're headed to Coos Bay this afternoon, what are kind of the big concerns you've been hearing from people recently?
You know, people are concerned because, you know, prices are increasing, right? What we're seeing is that prices haven't come down with sort of the erratic tariffs. We're seeing increase in prices and also a loss of some of our markets. You know, whether I talk to wine growers, I've talked to some people in ag, we're losing some of our markets. They're concerned about jobs. I mean, we just saw Roseburg Forest Products, you know, laid off 146 people. Pacific Source, you know, right here in Springfield, they laid off, you know, like a quarter to a third of their workforce. I mean, it's significant. So people are seeing that there's ripples on the horizon about, you know, a recession and what's going to happen to them. So they're very concerned about that. People are really concerned about what looks like, I think, is federal overreach with ICE, you know, Immigration Customs Enforcement and, you know, Customs and Border Patrol are supposed to be managing our border. And yes, are supposed to be making sure that our immigration system is enforced and safe. Our immigration system is broken. And what we have seen is American citizens, people who are here legally, people who have had paperwork issues that have been pulled in, put into, you know, prisons run by private companies, and they just kind of get disappeared. And people across the political spectrum, wherever you are on how we should address our immigration system, what has been happening is a federal overreach. And we hear from people a lot saying we think that this should be done differently.
One of the, of course, big national topics right now is the Epstein files. I don't think we've particularly talked about that before. What's your perspective on what's going on?
Look, I don't think it should be partisan that if an adult rapes a child, they should be held accountable. I don't care who they are. I don't care what party they're in. I don't care what their excuses are. They should be held accountable. And we need transparency. Now, I went to look at some of the Epstein files and understand they let you go in. The DOJ lets you go in and there are four desks all sat together. So only four people can go in for 2 hours at a time. You can go in and look at one of the 3 million pieces of paper or emails or documents, but they don't tell you how to look them up. It's not like there is a summary catalog of go here and find this. You have to do individual searches. You can't record any of it. You can't print it. They give you a legal pad and you have to write down what you saw, like what you read, like you transcribe it. They are doing everything possible to hide everything. There were PDFs that DOJ said, oh, well, FBI didn't send it to us. And we're saying we're members of Congress. You have to show us what's there and whose names are there. I mean, I talked to the victims and these women were really, really brave and they were raped. There were women and some young boys as young as 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 years old. We as a country should hold anyone accountable that was involved. The things I read were not salacious, but it was emails between Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein about how raw of a deal they got and how they're losing friends and how Ghislaine Maxwell had to fly commercial instead of flying in a private plane and that the girls looked like they were overage. I mean, the craven and callousness, and it was chilling. And I'm going to continue to go through, you know, and these are Democrats and Republicans. We certainly have Thomas Massie that has been outspoken about how we need to hold everyone accountable whose name's in there. But the DOJ should be providing this information. And I think the American people believe that, too. I've talked to people across the political spectrum, and it's like, pedophiles should be held accountable. That is bipartisan.
A lot of times in situations like this, as a member of Congress, you're given access to information. You can't share it. You basically can just internalize it and go from there. But have you been surprised at, even for you and other members of Congress, how it has been harder to get to some of this?
Yeah, this is unprecedented. There has never been, of course, you know, we have secure places where we get updates for, you know, information that is highly secure. We leave our phones outside. We get to see that information because it is our job to do oversight. The level of obfuscation and the barriers that have been put up for members of Congress who are doing this oversight to access these records is stunning. And people who've worked at DOJ, people who've been in Congress, Republicans, Democrats, have never seen anything like it. The Department of Justice should be standing for justice, right? And instead of going through and protecting people who hurt our children in the most horrific way possible. So we're going to continue pushing. They're going to, you know, Pam Bondi, I don't think anyone who saw her get questioned in front of the Judiciary Committee could come away with anything, but this woman is not a serious person and is definitely got some screws loose. But her dramatics are not going to get us to stop digging until we find out every single adult that should be held culpable. And we're not taking no for an answer. And I think, I mean, it was Lauren Boebert said it and said, like, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell should not be, should spend the rest of her life in prison, and it shouldn't be an easy prison for what she did to those children. Again, why is she being given an easy time? You don't get to rape children and sexually traffic children and then get a deal because you won't say someone's name. I mean, that is absolutely wrong. And we're just going to keep digging till we hold everyone accountable.
About ready to wrap up with Congresswoman Val Hoyle. What's kind of ahead along with your meeting in Coos Bay while you're in the district this week?
I'm going to meet with some of the tribal leaders. We're meeting with the Port of Coos Bay. We're meeting with some community leaders. I'll be going meeting with different people up and down the coast when I'm home. I work really hard to meet as many people as possible. It's a big district, but I take this job seriously, and I love the people in it.
And when do you get when do you go back to D.C.?
Next Sunday.
And so, and both chambers are out of D.C. right now, correct?
That is correct.
All right.
We shouldn't be because we have budgets to vote on, but we are.
All right. Fourth District Congresswoman Val Hoyle joining us from Springfield. Thanks for being on today.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
1258 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.